Good morning. Wait for just a second. Okay. So first off, I want to say how proud I am for all of you for coming here week after week. I wish so badly that I had a joke to start out on, but in all honesty, this topic, adultery, is a serious and costly sin. Proverbs is meant to be corrective, and we've had some pretty heavy topics. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that we go to a church that doesn't shy away from the hard parts of God's word. We read them, we study them. The leadership here knows how important these topics are for living out Christ-filled lives. As much as I would love to give us a lighter topic to discuss, I'm glad that we find ourselves here today talking about the messy, heavy side of sin. Let's pray before we dive into what God wants us to hear. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just so thank you for this time. Thank you for meeting us here during worship. And Lord, you really are worthy of it all. We ask, Lord, right now that you would just meet us in this message, that you would calm me, help me to get out of the way so that your message is clear. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to every woman here and that you would just touch our hearts. We thank you. Amen. My throat suddenly went really dry, so bear with me. Last week, Maeve shared with us about marriage. It's a beautiful thing. God created Eve for the specific intent for her to be Adam's comparable helper, as Adam is to be hers. We have unity and oneness when we are married. Marriage, with God at the center, is beautiful and refining. So how is it that we can go from happily ever after to the sin of adultery? It starts with our sin nature. God doesn't partner you with the perfect person to make you happy. No, he partners you with the right person to make you holy. Marriage is refining. Two sinners coming together and living selflessly is hard, but selflessness is required. You cannot seek your own while also seeking and serving your husband. It just doesn't compute. When we start chasing our feelings and seeking our own happiness, our marriages get rocky. They become something that feels like a task of obligation rather than the gift of unity. Storms of life come, trials come. Sometimes we just get bored. We're tired of the way our husband does such and such, or we feel like he isn't leading or doing all that he needs. We expect perfection in our husbands, and when they don't meet up, to that standard, we stop serving one another in love and start seeking to find what's missing somewhere else. Maybe it starts by checking out on your phone. Maybe it's weekends away by yourself or sharing with your girlfriend your struggles with your husband. They all don't seem bad, but can easily become the groundwork for compromise. What is adultery? We all know and understand it to be the engaging of sex outside of the marriage bed. Culture made sex about feelings and chemistry. God made sex about covenant. One depends on your feelings. The other survives without them. Intimacy leads to desire. When we connect with our spouses, there is a deeper connection and wanting sex. Ultimately, we have happier, healthier marriages when we are connected. I found this quote somewhere that says, "The enemy's strategy for your marriage has never been an affair. It's distance. And distance always starts in the bedroom." We have weaponized sex. We withhold sex because we're mad or we don't feel like it. Culture makes it really easy to make this normal. I can't stress this enough. This is not God's design. 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, "Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer." Notice it didn't say when your feelings are right. When we step outside of God's plan, we flounder and we fall deeper into sin than we ever thought possible. We make room for temptation and sin. We were created with unification in mind. Sex has a purpose. We can blame the world that we live in all that we want for being over-sexual. Yes, it's true. We're living in times where everything is sexualized. But Pastor Gary has said it before, we're living in a world that forgot how to blush. But we are called to a higher standard. God's word is our standard. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." John 15:19 tells us that we are not of the world, but God chose us out of the world. And really, when we stop calling sin by its name, we compromise. That's why we see so many fall prey to adultery. Our marriages get disrupted easily when we become vulnerable to temptations. I don't believe that any of us would wake up and go searching for adulterous situations, but I do believe that our sin nature is completely capable. A couple of weeks ago, Nancy spoke on sin. She shared about how costly it can be. She used the example of David and Bathsheba. If you missed it, that story is found in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. God had a plan for David's life. David was loved by God and used by God. He was even said to have a heart after God's own heart. But David fell into great sin. Instead of being at battle where he should have been, David stumbled upon a bathing Bathsheba. David allowed slothfulness and wandering eyes to be the stain in his story. He got lazy with his heart. When left unchecked, sin creeps into our lives as well. David's sexual sin with Bathsheba cost him so much more than that gratification of a moment's lust. He suffered, he hurt many, and even plotted murder. Sin is messy and costly. We find whatever means to cover up our sins instead of placing them where they should be, at the feet of Jesus in repentance. Proverbs 6:26 through 29 says, "For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared?" Sin is costly. Exodus 20:14 says, "You shall not commit adultery." It's a commandment, not a suggestion. I also want to point out that adultery got its own commandment. Perhaps God knows a thing or two about the downfall and capability of man's flesh and women's. Proverbs 4:23 states, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it." God's word is not suggestion for life, but the truth of how to live. It is his conversation with us that speaks on grace and love, but also sin and rebuke. We need to guard our hearts and protect what goes into our minds. Don't give foothold to ungodly thoughts. Elizabeth Elliot says, "We can't really tell how crooked our thinking is until we line it up with the straight edge of Scripture." Adultery is the violation of the marriage bed by engaging in sex with someone that isn't your spouse. But what if you don't have a marriage bed yet? Single girls, this is also for you. As you aren't married yet, there is, unless the Lord calls you to singleness, your husband still out there. And let me say that if you're dating and sleeping with someone who is not your husband, you are committing adultery. You are sinning against God and against your future husband. That carries with you into marriage. You should not be giving dating, relationship, marriage privileges. Let me say that again. You should not be giving your boyfriend husband privileges. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." We need to make our pursuits our faithfulness to God. On the other side of adultery, we have thoughts that lead to action. This is called lust. Lust is lingering thoughts, using our imaginations to create sexual visions or fantasies about the person that we're looking at. This is an exciting morning, isn't it? So sorry. We don't have to go that far with our thoughts because our minds are capable of envisioning anything we want it to. We'd heard often that men are visual, but women are too. I can walk into any Home Goods and picture a couch in my house, have it decorated for each season. I know I'm not alone, right? Our imaginations can seem harmless, but they can be powerful tools in the wrong venue. When not checked, what we see can turn into lust. Lingering on thoughts is lust. Sexual lust is also a sin. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:28, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." We have that capability in our flesh. Don't linger in thoughts on your favorite actors or some attractive guy that you met. Guard your mind. Do not assume that you are the exception to any rule of sin. If you're sitting here today and you think that the enemy is not waiting outside your door to devour you, then you're wrong. You can be a woman who reads her Bible, journals, and prays in the morning and still struggle with sin. We need to have our best guard up to protect us against the enemy. When we give God our first, that's not just giving God our first 20 minutes of the day. We are to be submitting to him. We are submitting to him in obedience all day long. When we can feel close to God and still run, we can feel close to God and still run life our own way. Honestly, we can read scripture one moment and forget it the next. The time with God shapes you, but obedience reveals who actually leads you. Read and apply his word. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." In Genesis 39, we read part of Joseph's story. Joseph had been thrown into a pit by his brothers and sold to the Midianites, who then sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard. God was with Joseph. In verse 6 of chapter 39, we read, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph." Did you hear that? Longing eyes. "And she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great sickness and sin against God?'" Pause right there. Joseph is showing faithfulness here, not only to his master, but more importantly to God. Joseph is calling out that to lie with her would to be sick and sinful. It's important to remember that we should be stopping sin before it catches us. Verse 10 says, "So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside that she caught him by his garment saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled outside." This is the perfect response for temptation. Flee. Spurgeon comments on this, telling that slavery itself was a small calamity with that which would have happened to young Joseph had he been enslaved by wicked passions. Joseph avoided her and made sure to never be alone with her. His response when in a sticky situation was to flee. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20 says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in spirit, which are God's." When my husband was first saved, he was in his young 20s, and he had a really strong group of guys that he went to church with, and all of them were single. They used to do the thing that if they saw a woman who was attractive or less than dressed, if you will, coming up on one side, they would say, "Jesus to the left." She was coming up on the right. And they would turn their heads away. They'd all kind of look and do that. I would giggle at first when I heard it, but honestly, it was pretty smart. Hey, temptation's over here. Keep your eyes over here. And that's exactly what we should do. Sin is enticing, and knowing how to combat it in those moments of weakness is crucial. I do want to say, if your husband is struggling with sexual impurity or lust or pornography, or you are, because women can also be addicted to porn, it's a rough road. Don't be lulled into sin by thinking that it's okay or it's not that bad. Pray for your husband. Pray for him. Ask God for wisdom and strength. Talk with him. Be open about the pain that you feel when he chooses something other than you. I guarantee he already knows it's sinful and is already seeing the repercussions of his actions. But then seek wise counsel and support. When we bear the burden alone, that accountability falls on your shoulders and the weight is too heavy. And for us women, porn grabs us too. Find accountability. Talk with your husband about your issue. Bring what is growing in darkness fully into the light so God can heal and clean up our hearts. If we're not honest about our sin, we will never fully be rid of it. Sexual addiction is strong. Seek help, pray, and surrender. We have amazing pastors here and counselors that can help you. Set boundaries. In Matthew 5:29-30 says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Delete Facebook. Create a privacy code for your husband's phone that only you know. Have him create one for you. I want to give you four ways to avoid adultery and lust that I found in my research. Number one, refuse foolish proximity. Before a physical affair ever happens, an emotional one does. Do not create emotional intimacy with a man that is not your husband. Do not lean in on anyone. Watch your mouth when complaining about your spouse. In fact, don't do it at all. When we do that, we're opening the door for a new knight in shining armor to step in. Someone else then becomes the one who understands us or makes us feel loved. Wrong. Don't assume that self-control will save you where wisdom should have protected you. When we are wise with our boundaries in our marriage, we can avoid the appearance of evil and even giving the enemy a door to adultery. I also want to add, don't hang with women that bash their husbands. The Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good character. Be mindful where you spend your time. Number two, kill idleness before it kills you. Like our friend David, idleness gets you in trouble. When structure disappears, temptation gains room to breathe. We find ourselves watching things or reading things or going to places where we shouldn't be because we're bored. Our guard is down and we become vulnerable to the wrong people. Yes, some affairs are driven by lust, but lots are driven by boredom and unchecked downtime. Number three, refuse the lie that you are the exception. We are not strangers to sin. The Spirit is willing, but we know that our flesh is weak. We create excuses like, it won't go that far, I can handle this, no one will know, it's not that big a deal. And we begin to compromise our hearts, minds, and begin to believe the lies. Refuse them. And number four, cultivate your own marriage. When we neglect affection, communication, and intentionality, temptation gets harder to resist. Prioritize time together. Keep open the lines of communication. Talk about the mundane and the hard stuff. Choose presence over distraction. Work through conflict instead of avoiding it. Don't keep score. Cut off anything that threatens your unity. God made you for each other. If you're struggling with your marriage today with your spouse, maybe you're on edge or communication seems to be off, remember that our marriages can transform us to being more Christ-like. Transformation requires friction to break away the rough parts and reveal the image of God. Our husband can be the tool that God is using to grow us. If you're looking at the habits or patterns or whatever is irritating you about your husband, ask God in prayer, what are you trying to build in me through this? Ask God to change your heart and grow you deeper into fixing what may be needing breaking away in you. Sometimes the heat is turned up in our marriages. Don't run away and assume it's too hard to work through. Remember, you're both being refined. I want to share with you the story of the woman caught in adultery. This is found in John 8, 2 through 11. It says, now early in the morning, he, Jesus, came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something if which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, people like to stop right here. God is grace. Yes, he is. He is mercy and love, but he's also committed to truth. Charlie Kirk commented on this section by saying, sometimes in the modern gospel, we overemphasize the grace and we underemphasize the truth. The second part of this story is important. Verse 10 reads, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Jesus commands her to stop sinning. We serve a gracious God. He loves us so much that he doesn't want us to live in sin. He wants to give us the light of life and redemption through him. Sin separates us from him. His heart breaks. But he also knows that what we are capable of. It's a hard word to say. We can have reconciliation to Christ. We can be redeemed. Earthly consequences will more than likely still remain. Rebuilding of trust has to happen. But God knows our temptations. He knows our struggles. He put that desire for sex in us for a purpose. We need to seek true repentance, grace, and forgiveness are waiting for us. Flee and turn aside from sin. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this time. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with these women as they are going to dive possibly even deeper or share their hearts or things that are going on. I pray that there would be openness and I pray that there would be healing. I also just pray for just the time that it would be sweet. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. In your name, pray. Amen.